This week on Myths and Legends, it's a story from Slavic folklore about Yaroslav, the kid with the deadly high fives. And hugs, and fist bumps, too. Really, just everything's deadly about him. You probably shouldn't hang out with Yaroslav. The creature this week is the pombrero, a jacked little hobbit who loves rum. This is Myths and Legends, episode 363, One High Five Man. This is a podcast where we tell stories from mythology and folklore. Some are incredibly popular stories you might think you know, but with surprising origins. Others are stories that might be new to you, but are definitely worth a listen. Today's story takes place largely in what is modern-day Bulgaria and Georgia, though it does venture into the Middle East and India as well. Despite wanting to be really accurate with its place names, that's about the only thing that's accurate, because everything is only a 3-month ride away from everything else. It takes place in a vaguely medieval setting, and there's really no history to speak of, so we'll jump in with the Tsar sitting down for something of an awkward meeting with Prince Laser. Prince Laser! Tsar Cardas called out to his top prince. It's Lazar, with an AR, different from the acronym Light Amplification by Stimulated Emission of Radiation, as in laser beam. Though I don't know what most of those words mean, Laser Lazarevich said. Indeed, neither do I. Nonetheless, noted, the Tsar said with a wink. Despite the yelling of his name and all the backslapping and warm greetings, this was something of a somber meeting. Laser said, why? Your kid, Yaroslav, the Tsar grimaced, he keeps pulling the heads off of other children. What? Laser staggered. Well, not just the heads. Arms, hands, whatever he touches, really. But you can see how the heads would be the most problematic. The Tsar said that he had received many, many complaints from the families of headless teens that their teens were now headless. If it's any consolation, Yaroslav, the kid, didn't seem to be doing it on purpose. No matter how lightly he touched another kid in sport or wrestling or something, boom, head, arm. A high five from him just ends up in, like, red mists and screaming. The doctors have looked at him, and the medical consensus is either that he's super ridiculously strong or some sort of wizard dragon. We think it's the former, but regardless, we need to let him go. Let him go. He's 15. What are you even talking about? Prince Laser was very confused. This was a lot to process. Forced exile, the Tsar shrugged. As much as he'd love to have a super soldier massacring people he wanted him to massacre, they just couldn't keep him around. Several nobles have already started talking about fomenting rebellion, and the Tsar could not have that. The Tsar was really, really hoping that Prince Laser could break the news to his son, in a way that didn't lead to his son, well, breaking stuff and people. Prince Laser said all of this was a bit much. He and his wife had prayed for years for a child who didn't arrive until their 70th year. How is that possible? Right, miracle, the Tsar said. Weird that this miracle would result in so many accidental deaths, but mysterious ways, right? The Tsar's smile faded. But yeah. Prince Laser was to exile his son by nightfall, or the Tsar would send the entirety of the army against his house. Thanks. Oh yeah, no problem, Yaroslav, the son, said. You just want to leave and go into exile without issue? Prince Laser repeated the question in order to lend some clarity and context to a scene that began in media res. They talked it through more, and Laser came to understand how most teen boys would rather leave high school early to go on a fantasy-themed adventure in a wondrous, unexplored world full of monsters, wizards, and princesses. And also that Yaroslav had seen his friend's ribs explode out his chest with a backslap. And that's something that sticks with you. He agreed that it was better for everyone if he was out on the road, at least until he learned to control his ability. So Yaroslav left. He tried to take one of his father's horses, but after the first mishap, wondered why he thought that was a good idea. He air-hugged mom and dad and left toward the setting sun. He lived on the seashore and, for 3 months, hadn't seen anyone until, one day, over the crest of a dune, a challenger approached. Not a challenger, not remotely a challenger, Ivashka held up his hands. He was an old man, just an old man. Not a wizard or Odinic wanderer or trickster god or something. He had followed Yaroslav out here upon learning that he left. He was Yaroslav's father's old servant. And while he was a stout wrestler knight, as the story brings up and then never mentions again, he wanted to help the young man. He looked around at the desolate stretch of sand in Yaroslav's camp, which included little more than a horse blanket, alongside a saddle he used as a pillow. Why was Yaroslav out here all by himself? Yaroslav told the man that it was because, to know the sweet, you must first know the bitter. Also, he had managed to fine-tune his abilities, so a hug or a handshake only broke one or two bones tops. Ivashka stepped back. Cool. He'd take Yaroslav's word on that one. It looked like Yaroslav was in need of a horse. He had one for Yaroslav. Podlass. Yaroslav's email address wasn't public on the internet, and also wouldn't exist for 1,500 years, so he didn't have the knee-jerk wariness whenever some random person reached out, pitching something with the word pod in the name. Podlass was a horse. The only horse that could handle Yaroslav. He was in a nearby herd, and he would only be in this region tonight. And, like a Bee Gees album or a monster truck rally, it was a one-night-only thing. Tomorrow, Podlass would be in Scandinavia or Japan or something. So he got it, Ivashka said when he returned to Yaroslav's parents a few weeks later. But we're just going to jump ahead like that? He's really blowing through the steps in the hero's journey there, Laser said in his marble house, which Yaroslav had built for him before he left. But I didn't go over it because we all only have so much time here on this earth. I don't really go in for the hero's journey thing, but yes, he's moving right along. Slap that horse to the ground, which actually showed a surprising amount of restraint for him, and the horse rose to its knees, bowed, and pledged to be his horse forever. Now, with a horse and control of his abilities, Yaroslav would ride. Where? Well, wherever he could make a name for himself. Which was why he rode for 3 months doing nothing. Real life is, well, thankfully not full of dragons and wizards and deadly nonsense. Real life can be pretty mundane sometimes. Unfortunately, that does not make for a good legend, for a story, or for Yaroslav's glory. So we're going to fast forward to all the dead guys. Hey, everybody, Yaroslav called out to the field of corpses. The only answer he received was from the crows. It had been a battlefield, but it hadn't gone well for either side, it seemed. Anybody not dead? Yaroslav nudged many torsos before he heard a hey. Yaroslav rushed to the noise, or in the direction of the noise. I imagine he played a fairly gruesome game of Marco Polo before rolling over the corpse to find the last living soldier. The man said, thank goodness. Yaroslav had saved him. His legs were broken, but with some intense medical care, and who did this? Yaroslav demanded with a grim look, surveying the dead. The soldier said, oh, well, they had been fighting Prince Ivan's army and winning. But then Prince Ivan arrived at the battle and completely demolished their whole side by himself. But back to saving his life. If Yaroslav could lift his horse off his legs, Yaroslav said, who was this Prince Ivan fellow? The soldier said he didn't know. Strong guy, probably the strongest in the world. Yaroslav was focusing on the wrong thing here, though, which at the moment was failing to save the soldier's life. Now, if Yaroslav could please free him and give him medical care, with several months' help, he should be able to walk again. Ha ha! Yaroslav said. He spotted the footsteps of Prince Ivan, deep and muscly, much like his own. Thank you, brave soldier. You shall have your rest in the next life. Yaroslav rose and bounded to his horse. The soldier didn't want his rest in the next life. He wanted his rest in this one. Please help. Yaroslav, though, didn't even hear him. He couldn't be bothered with such trivialities. He had glory to win by stabbing Prince Ivan in his sleep. He rode again for another 3 months until he found the tents of Prince Ivan. Since Ivan was traveling alone, he didn't post a guard, and Yaroslav had shooed away Ivan's horse from his oats and dropped off Podlas there. Drawing his sword, Yaroslav stood over Ivan in what Dungeons & Dragons and war crime parlance is called a coup de grace. Yaroslav relaxed his sword. This felt wrong, because it was wrong. It wasn't so much battle as straight-up murder. He decided that he would do the honorable thing and wait for Ivan to wake up, and then kill him. As he waited, wow, it sure was getting sleepy in here. Nice tent, soft blankets. He was just going to rest his eyes a bit, just a minute. And Yaroslav was out. We'll see why maybe you should fall asleep in your enemy's tent, but that will be right after this.
I don't know about you, but I love games. They're relaxing and fun, and one game I recently rediscovered is June's Journey. Yeah, June's Journey. Have you heard about it? We like this one a lot around here.
Yeah, it's really easy to get into. And what got me was how the storyline becomes part of the experience. I really like that in a game.
June's Journey is a hidden object mystery game with an unfolding detective tale set in the roaring 20s. And that's just one piece that makes this game my current favorite.
Basically, there's been a murder.
Actually, it's a double murder.
A double murder. And you get to be the daring detective, June, with a personal connection and clues to be found.
I was so impressed from the start. From chapter one, when you show up to the Orchid Island estate, the way it's designed, I felt like I was right there with my detective hat and everything.
And because this is a mobile game, I can be standing in line at the grocery store or anywhere I have internet, but with June's Journey, be in a totally different world, solving a case.
Do you think you know who did it?
I have ideas, but I'm only on chapter three, so I have a long way to go.
Nice. Well, we are having lots of fun with June's Journey lately. It's free to download and exciting to play. Plus, you can customize your very own luxurious island and chat and play with other players, if you want, by joining a detective club.
Our question is, can you crack the case? Download June's Journey for free today on iOS and Android.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp.
How are you? How's your social battery right now? These are questions not just for us, but for you.
It's easy to wear ourselves too thin, especially as winter thaws into spring and social gatherings pick up.
Maybe a better question is, how do you recharge? When your social battery is low, is it more helpful to be around people or spend a little time alone?
You know what? Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build and maintain a social life that doesn't leave you drained.
We've heard before that therapy is for everyone, and well, here's a good example of that. I've discovered so much about my personality and who I am through therapy, and it's only improved my everyday.
I agree. And for myself as well, this is true. I'm better at planning ahead, setting boundaries, and dealing with stress. Therapy isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. Truly, it's for everyone.
If you're at all interested in the idea of therapy, give BetterHelp a try. Getting started is as easy as filling out a brief questionnaire online, which is where BetterHelp happens. This is designed to be convenient and flexible, all suited to your schedule. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/myths today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/myths. Stand up and save yourself. You have lain down to sleep in another man's tent, put your horse to feed in another man's oats. You must answer for this with your life. Luckily, as Yaroslav learned when he awoke to a grown man shouting at him, Ivan was the honorable type. The type that doesn't stab people in their sleep, which I'm pretty sure is the floor for honor. Yaroslav blinked awake. Well, great. Now that Ivan was up, he would love a glass of water, being a guest and all. Ivan kicked him. He wasn't the guest. Ivan was a prince of princes. Oh, you rule a bunch of princes? You have a whole committee of princes, not kings, that you yourself manage? Sounds thrilling and brave. Yaroslav mocked, and Ivan kicked him again, yelling at him to get up. He would die for this insolence. You might be prince in this tent, but out there on the battlefield, we'll be equals. Yaroslav smiled. They weren't, though. Yaroslav, the guy who constantly had to devote mental energy to ensuring he didn't pop humans with his hugs, won handily. He didn't even use the sharp side of his lance, instead just unhorsing and beating Ivan with the blunt end. Prince Ivan, wilt thou live or die? Yaroslav cried out. Prince Ivan, hands raised and bloody, said, oh, he had a say in the matter? Live, definitely, 100% final answer. He begged Yaroslav Lazarevich to spare him and be his older brother. And so that's how one became two. Back in the tent, after Yaroslav set Ivan's bones, Yaroslav learned the honorable reason why the honorable Ivan honorably massacred the entire army with honor. Yeah, Tsar Fodal, the Dragon Tsar, as he's called, would not give me his daughter, Kandala, in marriage. They fled the battlefield before I got there, but I am resolved to carry her off by force. Ivan followed that line that's absolutely in the original with a tear of road mutton and chased it with some wine. Yaroslav might, officially, be the older brother, but he had a lot to learn about the ladies, and he was very much on the wrong track with Ivan as his guide, not knowing that no love story should begin with, I am resolved to carry her off by force. Yaroslav wanted to learn as much as he could, as fast as he could, so he was down to help. But Ivan refused it. They were less than a day's ride out, and even in this state, he could take the Dragon Tsar's army himself. Yaroslav would not dishonor him by kidnapping his future wife. That was his job. And he did it well, Yaroslav had to admit, as he crouched in the bushes the next day and watched Ivan tear through 100 knights that the Dragon Tsar had arrayed outside of his city. The story uses a lot of bird and falcon imagery, but I'm pretty certain that Ivan can't actually fly. I picture him more swimming through the forces like a dolphin, like the characters do in Fortnite when they fast swim, but with way more blood. He took the Dragon Tsar prisoner and put him to death, which, I mean, why not just kill him on the battlefield? It's adding extra steps to summary execution. Regardless, he carried off Princess Kandala. Ooh, but Ivan really needed to do his due diligence here. Since, in this situation, romance was deader than Kandala's father, Ivan had to know, was she the fairest one of all? Kandala, maybe demonstrating her honesty, maybe not wanting to marry the man who just killed her father and so many of her people and also kidnapped her, said, oh, well, no, sorry, she actually wasn't. Tsar Dalmat, his three daughters, and their successive beauty were all three prettier than her, so, you know, they sound pretty good, right? I even thought about it. India. Oh, wait, was that guarded by Avashka Whitemantle, who didn't allow travelers, knights, or even animals and birds to pass him by without dying? Princess Kandala's eyes lit up. The very same. That sounded like a thrilling chance for some glory if she ever heard one. Beautiful princesses, strong knights. He should get on the road right now. And sure, they were married, but who witnessed it other than a bunch of corpses? She wouldn't tell if he wouldn't. Wink. Ivan thought about it. You know what? Pass. She shook her head, but pass? Why? They were prettier than her. He can marry all of them if he wanted to. That's the type of time period they lived in. You know what it is? The hedonic treadmill, Ivan smirked. Humans adapt to happiness, so he would get there and still want more. He was choosing to stay here, to be content with her, his plain, simple wife, who was only the fourth most beautiful woman in the world. I'll go, a figure burst from the blankets at the edge of the tent. Ivan was nonplussed. Yaroslav, you could watch me in battle, not... Yaroslav said he needed all the information on how to get to India and find this ruthless knight and these three beautiful women. Go southeast-ish? Excellent. He would leave immediately. Good luck, big brother? Ivan called from his tent. As Yaroslav rode, he thought. He could see the fear in Ivan's eyes when the princess mentioned Ivashka Whitemantle. This might truly be a life-threatening scenario, even for him. He decided that before he traveled to India by horse, he should return home to modern-day Georgia to see his parents. He turned his horse, rode for a few more months, and saw smoke on the horizon. His parents' marble palace was outside of the city, the one that exiled their son. The Tsar eventually saw the error in his ways when they were invaded by enemies from the north, and they thought that it would be rather nice to have a super soldier whose deadly high fives could be turned into deadly slaps on the enemy hands and also faces. Yaroslav's father flew to him, saying that seeing him was like a ray of sunshine because Prince Danil, Lord of the Tartars, victory was imminent. Yaroslav smiled. Not if he had learned a thing or two in the past year, which he had, and he would put it to use in the following battle. Because what he learned was combat I got it, son, Laser said. Please go help the Tsar. He used Ivan's technique, where he tore through the enemies like a falcon among lesser birds. I, personally, will show some restraint and not call it Yaroslav's falcon punch. Yaroslav stopped short of having Danil executed after he was captured, because Danil super-duper pinky swore that he would never, ever, ever attack again, he promised. He let Danil go, smiling at the sunset, content that this was the last anyone here was going to see of that guy. The Tsar, for his part, apologized for exiling Yaroslav, and went so far as to throw open the treasure hoards, the best type of hoards, saying it was an all Yaroslav could scoop buffet. Then Yaroslav could take his place by the Tsar's side. Yaroslav said no. He had to go to India to see about a girl's. He was going to see if these three princesses were the most beautiful in the world. The Tsar said, sure, if that's what he had to do, but that was like 3,200 miles or 5,100 kilometers. You have to cross Armenia, Iran, Afghanistan, and Pakistan. The things we do for love, right? Yaroslav smirked. The Tsar said, maybe. He could understand that, but this was on like a rumor. Beauty was subjective, but okay, sure. With Danil gone, they were completely safe forever, so they were good here. He wished Yaroslav well on his quest. Yaroslav shared bread and salt in the house of the Tsar and took his leave. We'll see Yaroslav make his quest for love, but that will, once again, be right after this. Did you know that even if you have a 401k for retirement, you can still have an IRA? Robinhood has the only IRA that gives you a 3% boost on every dollar you contribute when you subscribe to Robinhood Gold. But get this, now through April 30th, Robinhood is even boosting every single dollar you transfer in from other retirement accounts with a 3% match. That's right, no cap on the 3% match. Robinhood Gold gets you the most for your retirement, thanks to their IRA with a 3% match. This offer is good through April 30th. Get started at robinhood.com/boost. Subscription fees apply. And now for some legal info.
Claim as of Q1 2024, validated by Radius Global Market Research. Investing involves risk, including loss. Limitations apply to IRAs and 401ks. 3% match requires Robinhood Gold for 1 year from the date of first 3% match. Must keep Robinhood IRA for 5 years. The 3% matching on transfers is subject to specific terms and conditions. Robinhood IRA available to U.S. customers in good standing. Robinhood Financial LLC, member SIPC, is a registered broker-dealer. Thank you.
Once again, Yaroslav only rode for 3 months, which cannot be accurate, and he arrived in India. As we all know, if you're in a tense negotiation, it helps to open with hitting your opponent's hat off with a whip. It's how I've done every salary negotiation at every job I've ever had, which is why I'm a self-employed podcaster. Avashka Whitemantle, indeed, stopped any human, land animal, or bird from crossing the border, which must have been absolutely exhausting. Like, can you imagine when a flock of birds migrated past? You really have to be on top of that. Why was he doing this? Well, the Tsar liked it, and the story demanded it, but more than that, honor. Monty Python was British, but they definitely got the trope right, with a warrior guarding a pass for reasons? Don't worry about it. Everyone in the world knew about this guy and his prowess, and people came from all over to challenge and lose. Well, Yaroslav didn't. Avashka hit the ground like a sack of oats, the story assures us, and Yaroslav speared him. His GPS announced, "Welcome to India," and he rode for the Tsar's palace. Off in the distance, he saw three tents. The three princesses, the most beautiful in the world, were out enjoying nature. Yaroslav introduced himself, visiting each of them separately, and then beheading all but one of them. You're probably thinking that they were secret demons or harpies or not really the princesses or something like that. Nope. They were normal human women, and they were as beautiful as Ivan and the sneaky Yaroslav had heard. The only problem? Well, they told him of another, more beautiful woman, farther off in the world, Princess Anastasia. Now, I get being angry that you wasted a trip, but I think this was why Ivan chose to get off the hedonic treadmill and chose to be happy where he was. One, because he was choosing happiness over strife, and two, fewer beheadings. It's not justified, of course, that goes without saying or should, and I'm not sure why he spared the third and not the first two, other than maybe he had cooled down by then. So he was headed to modern-day Bulgaria, which, yes, was back on the other side of the world. He would stop by his home first and... He checked his GPS. This looked nothing like his destination. What was he using, Apple Maps? Nah, I'm just kidding. It's good now, Yaroslav laughed. And then he looked around, but really, he should be home, not surrounded by smoldering ruins. Who's there? Who's there spouting anachronistic nonsense? A voice called from a darkened doorway. Yaroslav turned. He said he was looking for the Tsardom of Tsar Kartus and his father, Prince Laser. Look around you, the man gestured. When the light found the stranger's eyes, Yaroslav saw that they were burned and scarred. The man had been blinded. Of course, Daniil the White returned while Yaroslav was on his long trip to India, and he easily subdued Tsar Kartus, killed, according to the story, 5 million people, which, yes, there were that many people back then. Historical estimates put the world population in the late Middle Ages around 350 to 400 million. Even with those numbers, Daniil still managed to kill over 1% of the world. Yaroslav learned where his father and Tsar were being held, unsurprisingly, in the land of the Tartars, in modern-day Mongolia, sighed, and got right back on the road. Daniil, it seemed, didn't consider small one-man fighters to be any threat, or he'd have a tighter defense. Yaroslav threw a cloak over himself and walked into the city as a traveler. He was able to find someone to direct him to the jail, whose bars opened up to the courtyard, where Yaroslav could kneel down and see that his second worst fears were confirmed. His father and Tsar had been imprisoned and blinded. Don't worry, father. I am here. Yaroslav held out his face for them to feel. No, no, he's not. He's not here, the Tsar said. Yes, I am. It's me, Yaroslav. They both said if Yaroslav lived, they would have never been conquered. They were conquered, therefore Yaroslav did not live. I live! I was just away. Sorry about that, Yaroslav said. No, you don't live. I mean, no, he doesn't live. The Tsar spat. Yaroslav rolled his eyes. Okay. Step back from the wall. He was breaking them out. No, you aren't. We're not going with you. We don't know you. The Tsar began squawking. Oh my gosh. Okay, what can I do to help convince you that I'm Yaroslav? That I'm me? Yaroslav grumbled as he eyed the guards, catching wind of the commotion. I have to see Yaroslav with my own eyes, the Tsar said. Yaroslav said that that wasn't happening for obvious reasons that the Tsar and his father and everyone else needed to accept as a reality now. Not if you get the blood of Tsar Fireshield. Anoint our eyes with his blood, and we shall see and believe you, the Tsar cried. The guards were nearly there now. Tsar Fireshield? What is this, an 80s Saturday morning cartoon? I already have too many quests. Just let me kill. Go! Beyond the still waters and the warm sea, slay Tsar Fireshield and return with his blood, and we'll believe you, Yaroslav, whoever you are, the Tsar cried out. Yaroslav felt the shove of the guards as they told him to move along, no talking to the prisoners. Good luck, son! Prince Laser shouted. Yaroslav grumbled. Yeah, thanks. Wait. Months later, Yaroslav told the Tsar to hold still. He only had so many drops of this eye blood to go around, and there were still like 26 eyes. Yaroslav shook his head. Tsar Fireshield had over a gallon of blood. He didn't know why he only grabbed a vial. The Tsar Fireshield bit is confusing and not really worth more than a summary. Yaroslav traveled to the kingdom, but on his way, he found a field of corpses. Again, unlike the last time he found a field of corpses, there was a giant talking knight's head, the size of a brewer's vat, telling him about Tsar Fireshield. The giant knight had been slain by the Tsar, who couldn't be harmed by fire, water, or iron. Only the sword that was wedged underneath the knight's giant, severed talking head. They conspired to get Yaroslav into the service of the Tsar, where, using the sword, he was to strike once and only once. Because if the Tsar was hit a second time, he would heal. Yaroslav slew the Tsar, got the blood, broke back into the prison, and was now trying to do eye drops in between waves of prison guard attacks. It was like if your optometrist was also fighting ninjas during your appointment. His father and his Tsar finally believing it was him, and Yaroslav with both of his hands free, Daniil, remember the big bad, took notice. When Yaroslav cut a swath through the warriors guarding the dungeons by cutting through the warriors guarding the dungeon. With Yaroslav on their side, it should come as no surprise that Tsar Kardas and Laser easily overcame the enemy king, even if he did have home field advantage. Yaroslav himself baptized all the children 10 and under, probably washed the blood of their parents off his hands first. It allowed Daniil and the nobles to live, but in the same way that he let Laser and Tsar Kardas live, by graciously putting out their eyes and locking them in the dungeon before abandoning the city. Finally having a blessing to marry Anastasia. Yeah, remember her? Yaroslav got on the road to Bulgaria and... Oh, yeah, this would be easy. I mean, relatively easy. The land was under attack by a dragon, one who lived in a nearby lake. And the Tsar, Anastasia's father, made the fairly standard fairy tale proclamation that the person who slew the dragon could have, quote, gold, silver, and towns. Not to be crass, but Yaroslav thought that he could trade at least a portion of those gold, silver, and towns for Anastasia's hand in marriage. So he made for the lake. It's telling that Yaroslav's extremely fast and brave horse stopped hard, throwing Yaroslav forward when the pair arrived at the lake, and they saw three heads pop out. Yaroslav rolled, thankful that he rode with his sword at his side. He planted his back foot, and rushing to the growing shadow of the three heads, he prepared himself for the fight of his life. He dodged the first two heads, but keeping track of them, the third one got him. It bit, tearing his armor like a bored kid tears a Coke can. And Yaroslav felt the teeth bite, but Yaroslav could bite back. He jammed his sword into the dragon's mouth, and the monster flung him back. With Yaroslav rolling to a hard stop on the scaly, craggy back of the monster in the lake, and, oh, right in front of him, three necks. Sure, they were the size of redwood trees, but Yaroslav could pull someone's arms off with a handshake, so he gauged which panicked head was coming for him first, severing that neck. The second, gone. The third said, whoa, okay, time out. And I know this sounds like a Myths and Legends podcast thing, but this actually happened in the story with the dragon. Because after losing two out of three heads to a really poor placement of his prey, the dragon did say time out. It's only slightly paraphrased when the dragon said he would ease up, eat cows or something. He'd live at the bottom of the lake and never eat another human again if the knight could just be cool here. Could the knight do that? Be cool for once in his life, please? Yaroslav said absolutely. For the stone the dragon guarded. The dragon grumbled. He knew it would be the stone. Yes, okay. He'd go get it. The head dipped and, a few minutes later, emerged with the dragon stone in its mouth. It's nice, beautiful, actually, Yaroslav said.
Yeah, it's a good stone, the dragon said. Here.
Bleh. So, you gonna remove the naked sword from my neck now, or... You know I can't let you live, dragon, Yaroslav said. The dragon replied that he did not know that. He wouldn't have complied. This was very much not cool. And he was the bad guy for raising a few dozen villages and eating people. Yaroslav cut him off from talking by cutting his head off. He had learned his lesson already with Daniil, and this dragon was a literal dragon. Yeah, you made the right choice, Tsar Vocholimai said, inspecting the dragon stone when Yaroslav entered the city. And he said it was a bit crass, but yes, Yaroslav could trade some of the gold and silver in towns for marriage to Anastasia. And when the time came, Yaroslav could be Tsar in his own right. And so Yaroslav married the princess Anastasia. He had his abilities under control. He was known kind of literally the world over for his ability. He married the woman who was, by multiple testimonies, objectively the most beautiful woman in the world, and he would be able to rule by her side. The end. Yaroslav paused. Nope, he was not going to do it. Nope. The end. Yaroslav bit his lip. He didn't need to know. No. He was happy. He was so happy. She was pregnant too, probably going to be a boy. He was good. He loved his life. No reason to pull on that thread. Hey, hon. Yaroslav found his wife sitting there doing a period-appropriate hobby for a medieval Slavic queen. Hey, Yar, she said. She was just finishing up this thing that queens would do in this time. He looked like he wanted to talk. He said this was going to sound, okay, so weird. And he knew it probably wasn't the case. Were there any women more beautiful than she was? By her half second of silence, he could see that he was right in marrying her because there weren't. Good talk. Anastasia said, well, I mean... Yaroslav's shoulders slumped as he heard about Tsarina Polikarya of the Amazons in the City of the Sun. Her beauty and hers alone was incomparable. Yaroslav sighed. Mm-hmm. He said he was going to run out to the store. Did she want anything? Anastasia said they had servants for that. Yaroslav laughed. They sure did. He'd be right back. 10 minutes later, she saw his horse disappearing over the horizon. Yaroslav Yaroslavich was 6 years old when he pulled the head off a human. It was one of his bullies, one of the kids that laughed at him for not having a dad. He had a lot more free time after that, not being allowed back at school, and even more questions like, how am I able to do that? It was then that Anastasia told the little princeling about his father, his terrible, terrible father. Yaroslav had to know where had his father gone. Anastasia said, well, she didn't know for sure. Officially, he was just running out to the store for some bread, but that was 6 years ago. She thought, though, that he had gone to the City of the Sun, in the country of the Amazons. So that's where I shall go. Yaroslav Yaroslavovich raised a finger. And, well, look, parenting is tough. I'm not telling you to let your six-year-old go on a world-spanning quest for his wayward dad. I am saying, though, that when your first grader can pull off the head of someone with his bare hands with barely any effort, well, that kid can probably handle himself. The servants outfitted him with armor, and he rode west. Die, suspiciously tiny knight, Yaroslav Lazarevich said, bloodied himself, after a knight rode up to challenge the City of the Sun in the country of the Amazons, neither of which are really explained in this text. Then a twinkle on the tiny knight's finger caught his eye. The spear dropped from his gauntleted hand. Sun? The stone was the one Yaroslavovich had gained from the dragon to, let's say, win Anastasia's hand. Dad, Yaroslav Yaroslavovich rose, and the pair embraced. Yaroslav Jr. asked, why? Why had his dad left? Oh, my boy, I was under a terrible spell, one that was only broken in the sight of you. The Witch Queen of the Amazons had me enthralled for 6 years. Yaroslav gripped his heart. Junior gripped his sword. They would go pay her back for her evil. Nope, no need to go talk to her about this. This whole city is evil. We could both be put under a spell if we go back. It's best to just take my word that I was under an unbreakable spell and not simply shacking up with a woman I found more attractive for 6 years. Let's go home, son. Let's go home. Really, the climax of the story is the dragon fight, and in my opinion, it does kind of end with Yaroslav finding his place in the world. But it is ridiculous that the story keeps going, him still not having learned the lesson that Prince Ivan tried to tell him back in the beginning. I joke, too, but there was no indication that he was bewitched by the Amazons. He just left with his son. The story's values are different than ours, probably. It said that they were great kings because they did so much conquering and enslaving, and that Yaroslav lived to the ripe old age of 49 years and 3 months before dropping dead. Which, I mean, considering his lifestyle, is kind of long. Anastasia followed him to the grave out of a broken heart soon after, because I've been assured by numerous emails over the years that that's a thing that happens. Yaroslav Jr. took the throne of his father and ruled with renown and glory. The story today, I like to think about it as a lesson in deciding when enough is enough. Knowing yourself and choosing happiness and contentment over constantly being dissatisfied, because you're always looking for more. Next week on the podcast, we'll see what to do if your parents give you a box with three men in it. The creature this week is the pombrero, from Argentinian folklore. The pombrero is like a slightly less scrupulous Beetlejuice, because you summon him by talking about him at night. Apologies to anyone who's listening to this at night and doesn't want to be, quote, impregnated by the touch of his hand alone, because that's also something he can do. Apparently he's called, in some parts of Argentina, Señor de la Noche. Like a lecherous, jacked little hobbit, his big hairy feet muffle the sound, and when he doesn't want a child, he'll silently touch people in the night to bring about a cold shiver. He usually lives out in the forest or in abandoned houses, but if you want a creepy new friend, well, all you have to do is set out some cigarettes, rum, and maybe honey. And after enough nights where those don't get taken by regular people wandering the forest looking for cigarettes, rum, and maybe honey, you will have befriended the pombrero. and he will look after your house and help you find things you lost. Your career slingshotting birds will be over, though, because for this thing's many, many vices, it likes birds and will try to keep them from dying. The best policy is really just avoiding this guy, though, because even in the best case scenario, he'll still cause way too many problems for you and your family, like setting your cattle free, stealing eggs, and scaring your horses. He whistles an eerie tune as he walks through the forest, so avoid eerie whistles when you're out in the wilderness, which really should go without saying. Unfortunately, once he zeroes in on you, there is no way to keep him out. He can turn invisible, he can squeeze through any crack, and I might have just summoned him when you listen to this episode. Hope you're well stocked with rum and tobacco. That's it for this time. Myths and Legends is by Jason and Carissa Weiser. Our theme song is by Broke for Free, and the Creature of the Week music is by Steve Combs. There are links to even more of the music we used in the show notes. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll see you next time.